All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobbo Frank and Chris Sill in the house. Once again, if you're just joining us, we're having some phone technical difficulties tonight, so you can't call in. That's one reason we haven't given out the phone number. And our guests can't call in either, so you got to put up with Frank and yours truly and Chris tonight. But speaking of Frank, he's going to do the LeClaire Ryan play of the game right now. Frank?
All right. Let's call this player of the game. Sponsored this fall by our good friends at LeClaire Ryan. Cavalier tight end Jake McGee had a huge game, a big TD in the second quarter that made quarterback David Watford look good. Jake had 8 catches for 114 yards, clearly his best game yet for the season. You may recall that he had a shoulder stinger in late August, early September, and he's come all the way back from that. He played a sensational game. If everybody on the team would play as well and hard and deliver when big plays are required, no doubt Virginia would have won that game easily. Anyway, hats off to the collegiate grad. Clearly one of my favorite players to watch on the Hoos.
Yeah, McGee had, looking at the stats here, 8 catches. Swanson had 3. Kevin Parks out of the backfield had 5. But wide receivers, Jennings had 1 catch. And Smith had 1 catch.
When Jake had that unbelievable one-handed catch in the game, that was unbelievable.
Going out of bounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he gained like 5 or 6 yards, but he did it so smoothly. That almost looked like one of those tight ends that play for the Patriots that Brady throws the ball to all the time. Just the way he caught that, he acted like he does that every single day in practice.
In due course, Jake McGee might play for the Patriots, or he's certainly going to play for somebody on Sunday, one would think. But nevertheless, and I was just the other wide receiver.
Dominic Terrell.
Looking here, not seeing it immediately, but at any rate, Jennings, Mizell. Terrell had 2 catches for 10 yards, so still. Maybe it was just one of those situations. Maybe the way the defense, you guys know more about that than I, as to why the tight ends were more in play as far as the quarterback was concerned. But nevertheless, as you said, Watford, a better game. And, you know, what? This is 6 starts into his career. So he's still
he's
very
growing.
Much in a learning process.
He's growing. And you can see this. And, you know, I'm going to give the coaches and Aaron Brooks some leeway on this because I think just 2 weeks ago against, in that Pitt game, there wasn't much to get too excited about. But, you know, he showed some life against Ball State. But clearly up at Maryland in a hostile environment, he showed a lot. And I think he's coming around. And, he continues to need some good blocking. He likes, you know, Virginia needs that run game. David's not at that point, obviously, that he can just take a team right down the field, you know, like Aaron Brooks used to. But on the other hand, he's able to mix it up. He's got the versatility of improvising. The pass for a touchdown to Jake McGee was a brilliant play. That was NFL-esque, the way he rolled hard to the left, got all the way to the maybe 3 or 4 or 5 yards from going out of bounds, stopped, leaned back, and fired that thing to Jake. That was just a laser beam. And you're thinking, did he just do that? And I got to say that, you know, I want to see what happens next. David Watford is starting to show those signs.
Yeah, and, you know, Duke all of a sudden, as we've said several times, it becomes a critical game because, I mean, if you're able to come home and beat Duke – then all of a sudden you look at Georgia Tech, and if somehow you can stop that Georgia Tech offense and grab back-to-back wins and get back to 500, then who knows? Then maybe you can really salvage what's left of the season and see what happens.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is, what are we, halfway through?
Yeah, 6 down, 6 to go.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, right? With all these games remaining, as crazy as it may seem, this team could still be a heck of a spoiler, could still set the table for next season, but they got to start winning.
And to give
and Duke, and look, hold on, and Duke is the game.
Well, yeah, I mean,
got to start somewhere. Might as well be Duke. Let's beat Duke.
If they lose this game, then all of a sudden you have concern that it could become a downward spiral.
Correct. But I do think this is a very much a winnable game. The defense has got to play better, and we haven't talked about the defense at all on the show tonight. But it hurt that Brent Urban went out of the game with the foot injury. He's knocked down a lot of passes this season. He's been stout at the line of scrimmage on run plays. He's provided a lot of leadership in the D-line. And now Mike Moore, Sean Moore's son, has got to step in there and play like a man, because Brent Urban's been playing like a man for the last 7 or 8 regular season games.
And do we know what the severity of his injury is, or how long he might be out?
We don't know that. We do know that he was wearing a boot on his right foot, so we've confirmed that.
So it's either foot or ankle then.
Well, it's probably foot. It looked like foot during the game, and did a player step on his foot, or did he misplant? Did he step on somebody else's foot? We don't know any of that yet. I didn't see it on the replay to get a good look at that. But Brent Urban's crucial. Virginia needs him back. He's been a beast. And, of course, Chris Braithwaite is sitting the year out on academic suspension, getting his grades together. If Braithwaite, had not gone on suspension, I would be less concerned, because we could handle a game or two where Brent Urban sits out.
And we said we would get back to that 3rd and 21 play. What was your read on that particular play? I mean, it looked like we had two guys in coverage.
Abomination. It's the type of thing that should not happen. It should not happen. Maryland was in 3rd and 21. Virginia's pass rush sort of blew around him, so he was able to step up into the pocket and drift a little bit to the right. I've always thought it's smart to have one linebacker hovering around the line of scrimmage that could come in with a late rush if the pocket does something like that. Unfortunately, Tenuta did not have that defense. And unfortunately...
Who were the two guys in coverage?
Anthony Harris was clearly one, and I think Draquan Hoskey.
Yep.
Number 8 and number 22.
And that was a throw down the field, so, there was time to react. I mean, that was like a 30, 40-yard throw.
It was a 40-yard throw. And the problem was it was slightly underthrown. Harris had a deeper ball covered. Hoskey had the outside hip. The problem was, by throwing that ball a little short, Harris, running back in coverage, drifted past the play and really could not get involved. It's because the play was more to the middle of the field, it really was Anthony Harris's play to break up. Hoskey had done his job and taken away that outside shoulder. So from what I remember from the good old days of high school ball and watching lots of college and pro football.
I don't know if they were good, but we know they were old days.
Not as old as your days there, Hobo.
Well,
sorry about that.
We had a peach basket in my day.
We know. But clearly, between the two of them, somebody's got to get their hand on that ball and knock it down.
Or strip it.
Well, no, just knock that ball down.
Ideally, but somehow keep the pass from being completed, because that was a key play in the game, no question.
It shouldn't have happened. It should not happen. I guarantee you the coaches, when they were watching the film Saturday and Sunday, they were breaking stuff because, there are two men back. Virginia wasn't burnt. They just let that guy outleap them and get that ball. So, that's one of those plays that hurts. It just you hate to see that stuff happen. And
it's the difference between finding a way to win and finding a way to lose. The difference between winning and losing. I remember Coach O'Brien after the first game, the BYU game. Mm-hmm. Coach London had laryngitis or something. He lost his voice yelling during the game, and O'Brien did the post game, and he said something that stuck with me, and he said, it's hard to win a football game. And the competition is so keen, and there's so little difference between a lot of these teams from a talent standpoint that it is hard, and that,
Look, everybody,
it's one or two plays during the course of a game.
Everybody wants to win. There's lots of talent on this team. Unfortunately, a lot of the best talent is young. Young players need time to learn how to play the game, play their position, play with their teammates, practice correctly, study correctly, eat correctly. There's 15 million things that have to be done correctly. Bottom line is, I think in this particular instance on Saturday, early evening, Virginia's coaches put too much pressure on the backup place kicker. Should never have happened. There were other situations. There were times when Virginia's at the goal line in the red zone, and they're inside of a yard, and they didn't even call the quarterback sneak. I've never seen a football 6 inches from the goal line where the team didn't at least try one quarterback sneak. Please, that was in the first half. And Watford is a decent running quarterback. Let him run. Watford probably should have called those plays. I don't know.
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it. How much is he audible? Have you seen very many audibles from him?
You can tell when the quarterback at this level is calling the audible, because all of a sudden his head snaps around and he recognizes something in the defense.
But is he doing that very much?
Not a lot, because he's told not to. You know,
and some of that will come with experience too.
Yeah, I mean, it's only his sixth game, right? All right, so we need to run through some injuries real quick, even though we cannot reach Dr. David Nediff because the phone lines are still down. We mentioned Brett Urban has got a right foot injury. UVA has to release their ACC injury report on Thursday. So we'll get an update on Brent Urban. Cornerback Demetrius Nicholson, lower leg injury. He missed this Maryland game. That's his first game that he's missed since he's been on the Cavalier roster.
First game he didn't start.
Correct.
Yeah.
Obviously, the place kicker, Ian Fry, still is out with that hip flexor, which Jody Smith analyzed a couple of weeks ago for us and said probably takes 4 to 6 weeks for that to heal. So hopefully Alec Vezinalik can keep his leg loose and limber, because he's not only punting, he's got to do the field goal kicking. Zach Swanson was back from his knee sprain. It was good to see him back on the field. Taquan Mizell has had turf toe and ankle issues. He was back on the field playing. Thought he looked better. Khalik Shepard played well. He had an ankle. And by the way, we didn't mention this earlier, but Khalik Shepard clearly had like a mini concussion during the game. He ran a play down there in the red zone, and he took not the first tackler that grabbed him around the waist, but the second tackler that came up. Shepard was still churning his legs, and they clearly hit helmets. No flag on the Maryland player. Unbelievable. I'm not sure why they have the stupid rule, because at Pitt, the quarterback, David Watford, threw a what we called in the old days a buddy pass to Kevin Parks out in the flat, and the Pitt defensive back ran up and drilled him with his helmet, and they didn't throw him out of the game, and they didn't even penalize him. So I've yet to understand, you know, one minute these officials are flag happy for that, and other times, no call at all. So where do you want to go?
What you always want is consistency, so hopefully you're getting consistency out of the officials in the same game. It's like a basketball game. You figure out pretty early on whether they're calling it tight or they're letting you play, so you have to adjust your playing style accordingly.
All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back in just a few moments, Chris Sill will handle the Olympic Sports Report, and we'll break down the upcoming games and give you our analysis for the Duke game that will be played at 3:30 on Saturday in Scott Stadium. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.